adultery is wicked, and I'm preaching against it? Or what if you were sent to Moscow, or Beijing, or Islamabad? What if you were sent to any nation? What if God called you to go? Go to a land and preach against it, because I've seen the wickedness in their land. This is what Jonah was faced with. This is the question Jonah had, and Jonah's response was to flee, was to run the other way. Instead of going to a little bit north and a little bit east over to Nineveh, which is in modern-day Iraq, Jonah went the other way, west. He went west to Joppa, which is modern-day Tel Aviv, and he hopped on a boat that was going to take him all the way across the length of the Mediterranean Sea over to Tarshish at the southern tip of Spain. Why did Jonah want to run? What caused him to run? You see, Jonah had a problem with the Ninevites. Nineveh was a huge city in the land of the Assyrians. And the Assyrians had they were notorious for being very brutal with the people that they overtook, with the nations that they came up against. And there's actually archaeological digs that have dug up steles. Steles are pillars that tell of a story, that have inscriptions on them that tell of a story. And the kings of Assyria have actually had steles which are inscribed in them. They're sort of bragging about how they've treated, or mistreated, rather, the people that they've come up against, the people that they've taken over. And I'm not going to repeat any of the brutalities here because they are that grotesque for this audience, because we have young children here. Grotesque things that people shouldn't do to other people. That's what these kings were bragging about. And so it sort of makes sense that Jonah, when God told him, I want you to go to Nineveh, that Jonah took off the other way. And at first sense, you think Jonah is taking off because he is scared. Just like we may be scared to go to the Prime Minister of Canada or the President of the United States or any foreign leader to go and talk with that person about how wicked their country is. But biblical heroes, many biblical heroes, have all been asked to go to brutal leaders. Not that they weren't scared, but Moses went to Pharaoh. Pharaoh was the most powerful man on the planet. Go to Pharaoh. Esther went to Artaxerxes. Even though Esther was a queen, if Artaxerxes did not send his scepter out to her, did not want to see her, it would be the end of her. Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went to Nebuchadnezzar and told him, the most powerful man on the planet again, and told him exactly what they thought of worshiping him instead of their God. Biblical heroes like Jonah have been asked for many times to stand up for the Lord's. And so I feel like there's more to it than just being scared. I don't think Jonah was just scared. We read about Jonah in 2 Kings as well. 2 Kings 14, verse 25. We read about Jonah, son of Amittai, who went to Jeroboam II, king of Judah at that point. And Jonah saw by his proclaiming to the king of Judah at that point, he saw who God is, a characteristic of God himself. Because Jeroboam, according to the text, did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And he ruled for 40-some years, and he did evil. And yet God told Jeroboam through Jonah that his borders were going to be extended and that there would be a little bit more relief for the people of Israel or for the people of Judah at that point. And so he saw how God was a gracious and loving God even through a king such as Jeroboam II who did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Jonah got a glimpse, just a small glimpse, of who God is. And that leads us to think that there was something else going on in Jonah's mind before he took off, before he went west instead of east. We're working through Jonah we're starting up this new Jonah sermon series this week. And we'll be working through that for the next 4 weeks or so. 4 or 5 weeks, because VBS gets stuffed in there too. And I don't want to cause a spoiler alert to happen. But Jonah goes to Nineveh, or he leaves from Nineveh. He goes the other direction because he wants the Ninevites to burn. Because he doesn't like them. Now, that may sound awful crass and awful difficult for us to understand. Like, how could you want a whole city to burn in hell? Why do you want this to be Sodom and Gomorrah 2.0? But I think that we get a little bit too high on our horse, you might say. We're a little bit platitudish at this point. You see, God's given us all a gift, gifts to do what he called us to do. So what is God calling you to do today? You know, we all don't have to be Karen to do God's work. We all don't have to be a pastor like myself to do God's work. We all don't have to lead a group in VBS to do God's work. Each and every one of us is called to this mission to do God's work. It's just, what are we doing with it? What are we doing with this calling that's placed in our hearts and in our minds that God is telling us to go and do something? What are we doing with it? Are we running the other way? Or are we obeying and going towards it? And if we are running the other way, why are we running? It could be because we are scared and we don't know what to do. But we all know that God qualifies the called and doesn't call the qualified. We know that, right? God equips us for ministry when we say yes to him. All we have to do is step out in faith, and then God will equip us to do whatever he's calling us to do. We just have to say yes and then start doing it. But too many times, like Jonah, we skip out, or we say, I don't think so, or we go the other way. And so, are we scared? Or are we ill-equipped? Or are we, as I would like to point out to you today, apathetic to those people that we are supposed to reach? You see, God called Jonah to go to Nineveh because the Ninevites would be saved if somebody proclaimed the word to them. The Ninevites would be saved, would return from their evil ways and repent and turn to God if they only heard the warning that they needed to return. 120,000 Ninevites would be saved. We talk about this great thing that on Pentecost, how Peter preached and how 3,000 came to faith that day, which is really awesome. But when Jonah showed up in Nineveh, 120,000 people came to faith that day, which is substantially more, of course. Are we apathetic? Do we care about other people? Do we love our neighbors as ourselves? Because that's what God's calling is basically about. Do you love your neighbor to the point where you will go up to him or her and say, I think we need to talk about something. I think we need to talk about God. Will we go up to our family members and tell them that? Will we go up to our adult children and tell them that? I think we need to talk about God. I think we need to talk about the Lord and the Lord's work in your life, or where we see how you're going wrong. Because I'm putting it out there, and you can pick it up if you want, because if we don't, we're really showing that we don't care. We may say, well, Pastor, you're getting a little bit off your rocker here. But the logic points to it. If we don't tell somebody, if we don't tell those around us, that means that we don't care about them and we are apathetic toward them, the same way that Jonah was apathetic towards the Ninevites. And so I think we need to be careful. I think we can take a pretty good warning from this passage. We often think of the story of Jonah as the big thing with the fish. In fact, in the council room, a fishing story came up because of we're preaching about Jonah today. And we'll get to the fish part perhaps in a couple of weeks after VBS Sunday. But right now, we're looking at why Jonah ran. And I don't think it was fear. It's more likely that it was hatred, even hatred towards Nineveh, and even fear that because of the knowing of what God will do even through people who are evil towards God and other people. God loved the people from Nineveh, and they would turn. God loved Jonah, told him to go, but Jonah said, I'm not going. At first, anyway. And so it comes down to this again. Love God first, and love your neighbor next. And love in a very real way, in an active way, in a very passionate way. Because with love like that, we can really change lives and change the world if we are to be honest with others. Pray this. In Jesus, we say these words. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you once again for the opportunity to learn about you. And some of the concepts today may be a little bit hard to hear. And yet, maybe we need to hear them. Because when it comes down to you, God, we are all that much more aware of who you are and your love for people in such a way that we don't even see it sometimes, because we can't see above and beyond our own scope. And so we pray, Lord, that as we go out and do our mission and our ministry, or even just talking with other people about you, that we would have the wherewithal to do so, Lord. That we wouldn't just wish they were gone, or that they were, that the problem would disappear. But we pray, Lord, that the problem would come to the forefront, so that we may deal with it in the way that you want us to deal with it. We just sang, "Here I am, Lord." And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to be faithful to us as you have been faithful to many nations and many people throughout history. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing a song of response. Great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faith.